Hello, my name is Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training, and on this podcast I'm going to be talking to you about accounting for tax. The two standards I'm going to be looking at are FRS 16 on current tax and then FRS 19 on deferred tax. So first of all, FRS 16 on current tax, a fairly short standard, and it's basically focused around the disclosures for tax and what you include in your financial statements in respect of current tax. The main thing included in here is the rule on accounting for dividends and interest. And the rules are as follows. For outgoing dividends and interests, you include withholding tax and exclude tax credits. And for incoming dividends and interest, we include withholding tax and exclude tax credits as well. And the tax charge will be adjusted to include the effect of the withholding tax. What does that mean in practical terms then? Well, what we mean by this is that when we pay interest, what we show in the profit and loss account is the gross interest paid. So if we're paying £10,000 interest, and let's say £2,000 of that is withholding tax that we're going to pay directly over to the tax authorities, then we include the full £10,000 payment charged in our profit and loss account. With dividends, when we pay a dividend, the amount that goes in our financial statements is the net amount of the dividend that we pay. So if we pay a dividend of £10,000, there may very well be a tax credit relating to that dividend that the recipient can claim. However, in the financial statements, we will simply show the £10,000 paid. And it's the same on the receipt side with the interest. If we receive interest that's already had withholding tax deducted from it, then we will gross up that interest receipt and we will show the full gross receipt in our profit and loss account. Whereas with dividends, regardless of whether the dividends have got tax credits relating to them, we simply include the net dividend that we receive. Okay, there are some other requirements in the standard, but those are the key requirements of FRS 16 that I'm going to deal with today. I want now to have a look at a more difficult standard, FRS 19 on deferred tax. FRS 19 on deferred tax has the following basic requirements. It opts for full provisioning for deferred tax. It also aligns us more closely in the UK with international financial reporting standards. There are still, however, some important differences to international standards. First of all, under our UK standard, discounting of the deferred tax balance is permitted. And secondly, some timing differences are exempt from deferred tax. What about the recognition of deferred tax? Well, the standard tells us that there are two types of differences. First of all, there are permanent differences, and we never recognise deferred tax on permanent differences. So what's an example of a permanent difference? Well, under current UK tax legislation, entertaining expenses are not allowed for tax purposes. However, in accounts, if we're taking a client out for lunch or providing other entertainment expenses for clients, then we will charge them through our profit and loss account as a valid expense. So there's always going to be a difference between the amount we count for profit in accounting terms, where we will deduct the entertaining expense, and the amount we show for profit in the tax accounts where we are not allowed to deduct the entertaining expense. That permanent difference will always be there, and it has no implications for our deferred tax provision. Secondly, we have timing differences. Now, a timing difference is a difference where in one period the financial statements show an item being added or deducted to the profit, and that item will be added or deducted to the profit in the tax accounts in a different period. The best example of this, and the biggest example of this in UK company accounts, is depreciation, which is shown in the profit and loss account, and capital allowances, which is shown in the tax computation. That's the tax profit. The depreciation will be charged based on the company's assessment of the useful life of the asset. The capital allowances will be charged based on the tax legislation relating to the giving of capital allowances. Let's say, for example, we had a machine that cost us £10,000 and had a five-year useful economic life. We would depreciate that machine straight line normally at £2,000 a year in our financial statements. According to the tax rules, if that machine attracts normal writing down allowances, we will put a capital allowance through of £2,500. That's 25% of its cost in the first year. So there'll be a timing difference. In our profit and loss account, we'll have a charge of £2,000. In our tax computation, we'll have a charge of £2,500. It's a timing difference rather than a permanent difference, though. Why? Well, because we know that by the time that machine has been disposed of, we will have had £10,000 worth of depreciation cumulatively in our profit and loss account, and we'll have had £10,000 worth of capital allowances cumulatively in our tax computation, in our tax profits. So there's a difference of timing only. The total amount at the end of the asset's life that's been charged will be the same in the tax computation and in the financial accounts. That's what a timing difference is. And we always provide deferred tax on timing differences, except for the following items. First of all, if there's a gain on revaluing non-monetary assets, we don't provide any deferred tax on that. Secondly, if there are rolled over taxable gains, we don't provide deferred tax on those. And thirdly, if there are unremitted retained earnings of overseas entities, we don't provide deferred tax on those. Also at this point, I'd like to mention the difference between a deferred tax asset and a deferred tax liability. What's a deferred tax liability, first of all? A deferred tax liability is where we effectively owe tax that the taxman, Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, that is, hasn't yet asked us for. So basically, the taxman has been generous to us. So for example, if capital allowances have so far today on a particular asset been greater than depreciation. Let's go back to my original example. I said that in the first year of this machine's life that cost £10,000, the capital allowances were £2,500 and the depreciation was only £2,000. That means that our tax profit is going to be relatively lower than our accounting profit. The taxman has been generous to us. But we also know that in future years, that timing difference will reverse itself, because we know at the end of the asset's life that capital allowances and depreciation will cumulatively be the same figure, £10,000, the cost of the asset originally. So the taxman has been nice to us, but we know that that will reverse itself. So what we do is we make a provision that is a deferred tax liability. Taxman has been nice to us. So we have a liability, a future payment that we're going to make, a future increase in the level of tax. On the other hand, we might have a deferred tax asset. And a deferred tax asset will arise when the taxman has been unfair to us to date. So for example, where we've decided in our financial accounts that we want to charge depreciation of, say, £3,000 on an asset, and the taxman has said, no, you can only charge £2,500 on that asset in your tax accounts. We know that because that's a timing difference, that the situation will reverse itself. So currently, our tax profits are higher than our accounting profits by £500. And we're paying relatively more tax. But we know we'll get that back because in a future year, the taxman will allow this difference to reverse itself. So we could create a deferred tax asset. Okay, let's just summarise that. Deferred tax liabilities arise when the taxman has been generous to us up to date and we know the situation will reverse itself. Deferred tax assets arise where the taxman has been unfair to us so far to date and, again, we know that situation will reverse itself in the future. To summarise things, I'd like to talk you through the deferred tax process and the questions that we would ask in deciding whether to make a provision for deferred tax or not. The first question we would ask is, has there been a timing difference at our accounting year end? What's a timing difference? A timing difference is where an item in the profit loss account is at a different value to the same item in the tax computation, and in future period, that difference will reverse itself. So is there a timing difference is the first question. The second question we want to ask ourselves, if we had a timing difference, is the timing difference an asset or a liability? And just to recap, it's an asset where the taxman has been unfair to us at the year end, and we're going to be able to recoup that in future years. And it's a liability where the taxman has been generous to us so far to date, and that situation will reverse itself in the future. So is the item an asset or a liability is the second question we'd ask ourselves. The third question we'd have to ask ourselves is the item one we would not recognise for deferred tax? So for example, it could be that we have a revaluation gain, and under FRS 19, we wouldn't normally recognise deferred tax on a revaluation gain. If the item is one that we would recognise for deferred tax, the last question we would ask ourselves is, what is the tax rate that we should use? And we should use the tax rate that we feel will be in existence at the time we think the timing difference is going to reverse itself. So that's the deferred tax process. Is there a timing difference? If the answer is yes, we then ask the question, is the item an asset or liability? Once we've decided that, we ask, is the item one we would not recognise? If it's one that we would recognise, we then ask, what tax rate should we use? And we can then create our deferred tax provision or our deferred tax asset in the accounts. One final point on this. When you do have a deferred tax asset, the prudence idea comes into play, and you have to decide before putting that deferred tax asset into your accounts whether you think it is reasonably likely that that deferred tax asset will actually be recovered in the future. An example of that might be if we'd made a tax loss. A tax loss is potentially a deferred tax asset. Why is that? Well, if we made a tax loss, that means that we could carry that tax loss forward and potentially recover it against future tax profits. So a tax loss is a deferred tax asset. The question we'd have to ask ourselves, though, of course, if we'd made a loss, is will the business ever recover from that loss? Will the business ever make profits in the future, that is? And if it does make profits, will those profits be sufficient for it to be able to recover that full tax loss against? If we do believe that's the case, if we believe that the business will recover from this loss situation and will make profits in the future, then we can carry the item in our accounts as a deferred tax asset. Okay, that's all I wanted to say on deferred tax. My name's Steve Carlisle. Thank you very much for listening. Bye-bye.